Welcome to another episode of Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for players and game masters to design perfect characters through imperfection. We cover all forms of game design, from interesting and engaging backstory creation to campaign and NPC development. Enjoy, remember to play what you love, and may your characters do something epic. Welcome back to Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for players and GMs for story-driven campaigns. I'm Steve.
And I'm Kevin. Hello.
Is that supposed to be a sexy, seductive, romantic voice?
Yeah, it came off more as Frog, didn't it?
It kind of did. Or villain. I thought you were doing a villain voice at first.
Maybe. I don't know that I've had a villain that sounds like that.
Hey, ladies. I don't know. I'm just trying to imagine using that.
How you doing?
I don't know, man. I was going. I went for it. Right? That's what you need. The deep voice.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. Does a deep voice? Does just making your voice deep work for trying to get attraction? Does that work?
I have no idea.
I don't think so. I don't think it does. I think it just makes people go, "What the fuck are you doing?"
True.
Unless you've practiced a lot, then maybe it will.
Maybe. That's it. I don't use my deep voice. I need to run a campaign with the character with that voice, and then it'll get better or something. But yeah, we are here to say happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And happy birthday, Steve. He may cut this part from the record.
So. Thank you.
That part's going to be cut, huh?
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay. But yeah, how's it going?
I'm tired. As we discussed
I'm also
before.
Tired.
But yeah, as we discussed before we recorded. But yeah, aside from, work-related exhaustion activities, not bad. We did have session over the weekend, and things happened.
It went well.
It went well. I don't know. I have some suspicions about a lot of things. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I feel like this went, not as bad as we thought, but I can't help but think that just is a ploy, and it's actually far worse than we could even imagine that it is, and we just don't know it yet. So shit's about to hit the fan.
That's just because I said the next episode is called Chaos. Brains. And, maybe.
Okay,
man, I can't do that the fox voice, the Chaos Reigns fox. Send in your best impression of the Chaos Reigns voice at yeah, things went well for you. I have not picked on you for like a solid two episodes.
True. Yeah, I haven't really been picked on. That just means that I'm getting due for some issues. We'll see.
That's pretty true. Though I'm going to be real, I don't know that I have anything super bad for you next time.
Oh, okay.
My problem is I've been chess piecing a lot in this game. It's our Kids on Bikes game. I've been doing a lot of moving pieces and setting stuff up and like foreshadowing and stuff. So, yeah.
Uh-oh. I'm missing a lot of the foreshadowing. So
oh,
that's
really?
Bad. I think okay. So. I think it's a lot. I think a lot of it's going over my head.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely could have made last time worse. Last time, they went to go see the Terminator, and then they started turning into Terminators, and then they think it was this new guy that they met that caused them to like start appearing like their body parts appeared as like robot parts, and so they escaped from there, but now the FBI might be onto them. And they have trouble from a bunch of other kids at school.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of they don't know, which is fun.
Not to mention, I was totally expecting Alan to get his ass kicked, but.
Oh, yeah. Monster's character, Alan, confronted one of the bully characters who, he's one of my favorites. Just because. So, Trong's character encountered this character. And the convert, like, he basically went, like, they know this character has powers because the whole point of this game is that a bunch of kids are being drawn into this place that they call the Blackout and are getting powers there. And it might have to do with the dimensional teleportation experiments of my party NPC's dad, or it might be something else. They don't really know. But this one character got powers, and Trunks' character went out to be like, hey, man, yeah, like, we can chill. The character in one of my favorite non sequiturs just in the middle of this conversation just like pauses and then goes, do you believe in the devil? And that's kind of become like just a thing he'll throw out. Like I let conversations go on and they're like, maybe he's not going to do it. Nope. He's going to do the devil thing. And it's just an interesting thing, especially because I don't think you guys really know what the hell is up with that.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So I throw out stuff like that where it's just like, what? And, you know, you got to let them stew in it a little bit. That's all I'm saying. Right.
Yeah. You got to put your players in a pot and cook them and let them slowly stew until they're nice and tender.
And then you shred them with claws.
Ah, carnitas.
Indeed.
I don't know if I like being the carnitas in this analogy.
I like being the claws.
I'm sure you do. The only part that's better than that is eating it.
True. Welcome back to Scavenging Steve's Cooking Show. Today
we will be cooking our players.
True. So, yeah, that's also a game that actually I think is interesting because it's like two or three sessions ago, I think it was Monster who just called out. He was like, this game has a lot of NPCs.
Yeah.
And it kind of took me aback. I don't know if you noticed that in my answer.
No, I did. I was surprised that you were like, really? And I was like,
yeah,
I'm actually with Monster. Like, yeah, you have a lot of NPCs.
Because I was like trying to deal with it. And I don't know. I guess I have, for the viewers at home, there was a long pause here as I attempted to count and then failed to count because I can't. It's just numbers. but
he's an English teacher, not a math teacher, people.
It's true. It's one of the first things I tell my students. Now they're very impressed whenever I count correctly. It's nice. It's nice. So the reason why I didn't think about it that way is because I feel like in a regular campaign, like Steve, in your space game, Crimson Knight, I think we've encountered just as many NPCs.
I would agree. The difference is that all of yours are in like basically like one or two locations for the most part. They're either like in the city or at the school, whereas mine, yep, they're like across the universe. So
yeah, we're in a small town. in my kids on bikes game, Tempest. And I just thought that was kind of interesting, and I did want to bring it up on this wonderful Just Chatting episode. Because I think it really is like a frame of mind, and I really think it is something that it's kind of like a difference in thought between like players and a GM sometimes, right? Because I was just going through this, and all I've been doing is kind of setting up the various mysteries in the world and playing with them. And I didn't realize, because all of this overlaps, that my players might be experiencing this as, oh my God, there's so many people. So I think that's why it's just like, because I seriously was like, wait, no, this, what are you talking about? This is what I always do. And they're like, no, this is not what you always do. So it's got me thinking about that.
On like how you juggle it, you mean? Or?
Well, yeah, because you technically still only interact with a certain number of them at a time, right?
True.
Like, while, yes, all these characters exist and are made reference to, like, we haven't really had, like, big interactions with, like, Jackie, the girl who is kind of intense and crushing on Steve's character. We haven't had her back, although that's more of me trying to find a good place for her.
Uh-oh.
And we haven't had, like, we've had minimal Craig. I do want to get back to Craig, actually. I have some stuff to say about Craig. Craig's our lovable stoner. And, like, he had, like, a pretty big episode. And I've been kind of easing back on him, too. The initial set of bullies has kind of faded into the background, partially due to something that someone did in the plot, but partially also because I had other stuff to do. And they're kind of, the reason why they were at the start is because they're kind of the most basic version, and I have much more complex stuff to do. So they've been kind of lurking, and I really like how strong of an impression they made. That's great. Everyone's still like, is it Rex? And I'm like, no, it's not Rex. not yet. So I really do think it might just be that. The fact that they're there, but they're not like active all the time. And I think that's an important thing to balance. But I think it's also an important thing to kind of communicate, because Steve, to you, they're active all the time, right?
Kind of, sort of. Like, I understand that they're not there, but there's always like, oh, I don't want to go over here because they probably hang out here type of thing. So there's like, I guess like the looming presence of them without them actually like being there and having to be like role played in this situation. There's like certain things that I just know that I can't do like at school or in town without like possibly getting, you know, cornered in an alley and beaten the shit out of because I play a weak non-fighting character. So
that's true. Though you did learn you have a little bit of offensive ability with your power. So
yes, I mean, kind of, if I can, you know, latch onto them and I'm okay with, you know, like blanking out and such for like, what is it, like 10 seconds or something like that?
Oh, it depends, my good man. It depends.
Oh, no. Yeah, see, that's horrible. big risk to do it, but I guess I can.
Yeah, that's another thing in the game, too. Like, no one is quite sure exactly how their powers work either. And because their powers cost points that they hoard, like all players do, I feel like people are a little unwilling to experiment. I think that's hilarious.
Is this secretly your X-Men / mutant game? I feel like this is issues that a mutant would normally have. It's like, I have powers? Oh, no. How do they work?
So, no. I would do different things with an X-Men mutant game, actually. It's similar, though, because I definitely would... Like, there would still be, like, school aspects. Now I'm like, actually, that'd be a really cool Marvel, like, one-off or like, couple-parter. Have everyone make mutants at the Xavier School and... have like a fun, like just internal like mystery, and while like stuff's going on.
So like X-Men meets Harry Potter.
I mean the X Academy is already Harry Potter.
Yeah, it kind of is. Yeah.
Like, I'd have to look at the timeline. The Xavier School is very weird because it's evolved from kind of being like, because when they first came out, they were like a standard superhero team. And then it shifted and it's gone through several permutations, and the school aspects, like the really strong school aspects, are more modern, but I don't know. They were evolving around the same time as Harry Potter was coming out. So it could be Harry Potter influence.
Mm.
Hadn't actually thought of that, but yeah, it's kind of like that. The difference is I don't think anyone, like, I don't know that everyone would hate and fear you in Kids on Bikes. It's got that. True. It's got the Stephen King thing where your powers are mostly the interest of like government agencies, and largely ignorant parents are like kind of turning a blind eye to a lot of this, you know?
Yeah, true. Well, I mean, do any of our parents know about the powers? I don't think anyone's told any of their parents.
No one has told any of their parents.
Okay, yeah. I was like, wait a minute. I don't know about this. If that's the case for someone in our group.
No, it's not.
Okay. I was just say, then Monster would have some issues, because then the FBI would be like, I don't know if that picked up on the thing, but I'm like sniffing, like, I smell some opportunity. He's going to have suits all around him before too long.
I mean,
exactly what he hates.
Yeah. That was one of the big parts of me being like, yeah, I need to implement the fact that there is kind of his greatest fear following him around now. It's always fun to do. But yeah,
the tinfoil hat guy, actual reason to have FBI chase him. Got it.
Yeah. Can't deny. I mean, yeah, to go back to like the amount of NPCs thing, I don't know that it's been necessarily bad. I feel like people, like even Nick, who's had definitely a couple of times where due to work and life and stuff, he's had a couple of times where he's been like less involved. He's been like a little ill. He's had to step out early.
Yeah.
I feel like even he... has been able to keep track of them, because I tend to try to keep them like kind of both distinct. They also have like groups. So like, you know, I just have to say, oh no, it's not Rex. It's, you know, Troy and Russell. And you guys are like, oh, okay. We know the two distinct classes of bully that they are. And they don't really hang out. They're different cliques, you know? And you can do that kind of thing in anything, right? You have the different, like, the different magical groups or, like, knightly orders. And you just have to make sure that they're distinct enough that people are like, wait, 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 hang on. Which one is this? And you go, oh, these are the guys who are really into, like, fire magic and, like, blood sacrifices. They're like, oh, okay. These are not the guys who are into teleporting and fireworks displays, you know?
I'll say that's often why, like, what was the school setting in D&D/magic?
Strixhaven.
Yeah. I mean, it's also because of the magic, the gathering colors, but a lot of groups will actually have like different color sims. So if you're like, oh, it's the mercenaries, or these mercenaries are here, and you're like, wait, which mercenaries? There's a couple of mercenary groups. Oh, the red ones. Okay, then we associate, you know, with, you know, their color armor or robes or whatever with a certain thing. So that's why a lot of times you'll have almost like football teams in appearances to kind of help you guide through that when you have similar like organizations that you have to deal with.
I mean, yeah, even beyond that, I think that you did a pretty good job with all your corporations in Crimson Knight.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Because like, you know, there are a bunch of them. But like Ravencore is very much like mining and kind of natural resource exploitation, and like I can't remember its name, the one that Trunks' character is enslaved to.
Nova. Yeah, Nova Space Robotics, I think.
Yeah. I was like, they're like the robotics, and yeah, so they're distinct enough that I wouldn't confuse. Well, I wouldn't confuse Raven for anyone, but like, I don't think I'd confuse like Sos with Nova or anything like that. Cause they do distinct and different enough things. Plus there's like a whole bunch of other groups, like, you know, the Bounty Hunters Guild, there's some crime organization, which we haven't delved as much in, but, yeah, but I do think it is important to kind of, if you have multiple of a thing, to just, you know, keep it different, keep it interesting.
Yeah,
your players a curveball.
For my game, one of the things that made it easier, I guess, like I didn't really plan it this way. It's just kind of what I was thinking of as I was building it, and it just happened to fit really well, I guess. Is that technically they're all mega corporations? So since they're a mega corporation, they basically are the one survivor of their industry. So they're each separate industry. So they're all very different. So one does pretty much all the mining. Another one does like making like robotics and ships and stuff like that. Another one's more about like bioengineering. I have one that basically acts as like a sort of police force, which is kind of like a volunteer mall cop type organization. Yep. 'Cause it's kind of hard to have like multiple planets have a similar, you know, police system.
I love that Monster's character is a part of them.
Oh, yeah. I need to have that come up a little bit more, but yeah. I keep trying to find ways to, like fit it in to, like, the game, but they're mostly, like, volunteer, like, emergency response type thing. And then they basically just, like, oh, we'll help out with, like, the logistics of, like, a natural disaster or a pirate attack or whatever. And then whoever runs the space station or the city or wherever the heck this is happening, they kind of work with them and basically just like ask for donations for their service. They don't charge for it, but they strongly hint, it's like, hey, I helped you out. Can you help out and donate to the cause?
Like and subscribe and donate.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah. They don't get paid much. Let's be honest. They really don't.
No, I got the sense of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's especially good. Like the more similar things are, the more different they have to be, you know? That's why my sets of bullies do very different things. I have, you know, the tough bullies who are just going to, like, they're going to insult you. They're going to extort you. They're going to beat you up. And then I have my like rich asshole snob bullies who are going to insult you, but they'll probably also try to do like really crueler mind gamey stuff. So yeah, except for the dumb one who is just like one of the tough guys, but like he's basically just the big beefy backup for like the smarter ones. So
the hired muscle without having to be hired.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you also have the same equivalent for the girls as well. So you have like the girls have like their own like clique and stuff like that where they're pressuring each other. Though I don't think any of them interact with like our one player who's playing a female character, which is Nick and Abigail, though.
No, they have.
Oh, they have? Oh, okay.
They have. They're just like less connected. So right now they're mostly picking on like the main NPC girls who are like, you know, connected to your character and Monster's character. So, but yeah, that's also like, because once again, most of the time, female bullying takes a different form than male bullying. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A lot more social engineering.
Oh man.
Did I just like accidentally foreshadow something that I hope is not going to happen? Cause I'm going to have to deal with it.
Maybe.
I was going to say there's a long pause there. And that means yes to me.
Why do long pauses always mean yes?
Cause it's always an indication that like, I'm trying to think of a way to say no without lying to this person. How do I do that? What the fuck? Maybe. It's usually how it goes.
Oh, it's not me trying to think of a way to say no. It's me letting you stew.
Oh, okay. The worst of the two.
Yeah.
See, I'm going to let them just like brood in fear.
Yes.
Perfect. But, okay, excellent.
Excellent, excellent. Good.
Brilliant.
But yeah, it definitely is an interesting thing when you're trying to put stuff together. Because I feel like there is the trap of just having like generic goons, you know? And I've never been a fan of generic goons.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I see the, like, there's like, you know, a benefit and a drawback to like each is that if you have, you know, your generic goons that show up for an event, just like some random people that you have to deal with for that particular moment in that session, then it's easy to set up and you don't have to like do too much on like detailing. So it's very quick and efficient. And sometimes you don't necessarily need to go through the whole process of like figuring out like, oh, this is Bob and, you know, this is his history, when you know that your players are just going to like go and shoot the guy. I'm not going to talk to him at all. Like, you don't need to detail that if they're just going to like fight and be done with it. So I kind of get it from like both aspects, but like, you know, making characters and having them like be able to be like, oh, wait, we shouldn't fight. Hold on. I just want to propose this instead because I feel like you're actually going to beat me up. You know, maybe that person's a smart person and not just a regular goon. So, yeah, I get where you're coming from on it, but yeah.
Yeah. I think it's, and we've talked about this before, it stems kind of from my opinion of like random battles in certain ways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, combat is a time sink. So if I'm going to have combat, I should make it mean something. And you can make it mean something in like multiple ways because you can have like, you know, essentially the personal connections, which are most of the ones I'm doing in Kids on Bikes, my Tempest game. I feel like that's been most of the combats have been like one-to-one. These characters are having a social interaction that's gone bad. And kind of the two exceptions have been like the big monster reinforcing the circumstance of the stuff, which is another way to do combat, where you're just trying to show and give a tone and show how like serious something is, or how, you know, and in certain cases, how meaningless something is, or just how bad, how really bad the situation has become. So I don't know. I just think that is kind of where I'm coming from. So having like random stuff can be used well tonally, but I usually like to put a little bit more meaning into that. Like, I had ideas behind both. So the first combat they encountered in this game was against a shadow version of one of their bullies, because things in this other blackout world take the form of people in the real world, except they have like weird different powers, and there's a whole thing that they don't know about that's going on there.
Damn Dittos. I don't have time to get from into the dark now. Dimension.
Yes, the Dittos from the Dark Dimension. There we go. That's a great name. That sounds like a 50s B movie. I might have to name an episode that. The episode
recording
where you find...
it, it's copyrighted, you can't take it. OC, no steal.
True. TMR. But yeah.
Yeah, I kind of get it, because like if you just have like, let's say, a group of like five or six characters that are no names, you don't really have a story for them, they just kind of show up to either cause trouble and maybe make the party want to fight, or maybe they like are trying to like interject into like some sort of debate or like haggling thing that the characters are doing, and they basically just started causing trouble one way or the other, and that's like your purpose for them. If they don't have a story and you're not doing combat with them, if you think about it that way, then you don't really know like what their wants and desires are all that well. So it's kind of hard to like play them in a complex way. So like when players are going to interact with that character, they're just going to interact with, you know, their base primal instincts in that moment. And then anything else you come up with is pretty much just like randomized off the top of your head. But if you plan stuff out in terms of like what they're doing, you can actually like have them like tie into the story, and maybe the characters can even like befriend them. You know, like, I don't know. I feel like if you have that planned out, it fits much better to a story driven campaign than just, you know, random goons.
Yeah. And I think that's true. Cause yeah, the Dittos are essentially the two of them that you fought.
I like that we're going with it.
How strange. Yeah. How strange the blackout is. And then the one other thing you've encountered there are the giant mantises.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That were there for fucking shock and awe, because I wanted to traumatize my party NPC, and I did. And I think it was fairly effective. It's definitely had repercussions that I think are really interesting.
Did you intend for her arm to get cut off, or I have a feeling you did. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I had that planned for like a long time.
What would you have done if like somehow we prevented that? Would that have ruined your fun, or would you have done something else instead?
No, I always have other things up my sleeve.
Oh, okay. And he's saving those. He's not going to talk about it here. He doesn't want us to know.
It's true. Hey, bastard. I've said it before. Recycle, reduce, reuse, and close the loop. Did I just show my age? Shit.
I mean, probably.
Probably. But yeah, to circle back around to something else I left unfinished that I think would be kind of fun to talk about since we have a few minutes here. I feel like a lot of campaigns, if they run long enough, you'll eventually have an NPC that you created as a GM that you were like, they're fine. I have a place here. I need to put something there. I create this NPC. I toss them in there. You don't really give them any thought, but your players love the NPC. It's something about how you play them, something about like how fun they are. It just happens. And I mentioned Craig earlier, and he's that yeah. For our Kids on Bikes game. Everyone loves Craig. He's a stoner. He has the power of being able to float, particularly while he's high. And
he's our getaway dirigible. Thank you.
He is. He's been featured in one episode, and he's been around, but like he's definitely a character where I was like, oh yeah, like there's a, you know, the stoner character who actually like starts talking about how yeah, man, I can fly, and like he actually can. Like, haha, stupid joke. No, they love him. They think he's great. I kind of love him.
He was also like super useful to like our characters and stuff like that. And since he's, you know, like super chill, like it's easy to get along with him. So like no one has any beef with him. Like I might have beef with Monster's character because he's punched me in the face twice for what my character thinks is an unreasonable reason. Totally not still angry. Oh, sorry. I'm calm.
See, God, I can't even remember what the start. One of the starts of like 4 or 5 episodes ago, we talked about this.
Yeah.
But was it a previous Just Chatting? Maybe.
It might have been. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Just Chatting 1 or 2, probably. Maybe 3. I can't remember.
Yeah, he was super chill. So there's just like no reason for us to have any conflict with them. So the like, there's only up thing.
Yeah. So that was accidental. I did eventually turn him to some more dramatic purposes, as far as Trong's character goes, because he
might have to go cold turkey. Yeah.
Yeah. He has some personal issues that I used Craig to push some buttons accidentally. Craig is an innocent little sunflower and unintentionally did all this, mind you. So
let's keep in mind that Kevin pretty much only runs noir games. So what happens to delicate little sunflowers in noir games?
Oh, they get plucked and then they get trampled on. And then they sit in a corner dejectedly for a while and then they rot. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a rhetorical question. That was my bad.
Rip Craig.
Now everyone's going to be like, I call Craig out of the blue because I need to check if he's safe. Glares at me. Safe.
This is the 80s, but we need you to get one of those super expensive phones that work on satellites so that we can communicate with you and make sure you're safe at any given time.
True. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what
giant
happens.
Walkie-talkies from the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to do that because...
No, don't. Please don't. We don't need that ability in the game, no.
I feel like it's a cop-out in Stranger Things, and I don't want to do it in my game.
Did they have one in Stranger Things?
Yeah, they are. They're always talking on their freaking gigantic walkie-talkies.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I don't really remember. It didn't, like, hit me that hard if I did notice it.
Especially in, like, the first couple seasons. They're, like, all about their walkie-talkies, and I'm like, ah.
It could also just be them, like, desensitized to, you know, people having, like, a phone in their pocket at any given time because of reality.
Yeah.
So.
So, yeah. I guess when you notice that, at least my reaction, not to the phone thing, to your players having an unreasonable, okay, maybe reasonable attachment to one of your NPCs that you did not intend. I definitely think at that point, so my process for that is I pull back. Hence why Craig has been a little minimal. I don't know.
Let me guess.
You want to lean in. Oh, what?
I was going to say, let me guess. You pull him back and then you have him go into his cocoon so he can evolve.
No. He's got to keep holding that Evolite so he can. Yeah. No, never
mind. Okay.
Sorry.
Pokemon joke. Yeah. If you don't get it, it's a Pokemon joke. Don't worry about it.
It's a Pokemon joke. But no, I pull him back and I definitely rethink how I intended for them to be, and I try to see what ideas I have for the future that they can fit in, because suddenly that becomes like an active plot element. That becomes something that your players care about, so you should, as a GM, start thinking about it as, okay, this is a character who I can have give plot hooks, I can have, you know, be in danger and the players care, stuff like that. And I think that's really important because I feel like a lot of GMs just kind of like, oh, I'll lean into it. They love this character. And then like the character gets old. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely think it's something that like you don't just like cold turkey him. Like Craig has appeared selectively since his intro episode. But yeah, it's something where I definitely think it's that player interaction thing where the players do stuff and it changes your plans. That's how I treat it. And yeah, I just thought I'd mention that one too. So I was like, oh yeah, with Craig, we can word with, since this is apparently an NPC episode.
Yeah, apparently.
But yeah, did you have any other topics you want to talk about, Steve? Have any thoughts on NPCs?
I mean, kind of tangentially about NPCs, even though I really should be planning Crimson Knight, I can't help but think about the possible game that I've been thinking of doing for Arknights, and I've come to some I can't talk.
You want to restart that?
Come to some conclusions. Why can't I say that? Wow, that was so hard.
alliteration.
It yeah, kills. Alliteration. Yeah. But I've decided that I would not have you guys be a part of like the main group that you actually play in the game, and I'd actually have you be a part of an organization called Penguin Logistics. And I'd probably have like the group NPC be a character named Texas, who's very different from like most NPCs, I think. Like I could play because she's a very quiet character, but I feel like that would be like a good like directing NPC for the group. And I'm like trying to think of like how we can set that up if I was to actually do this game. I mean, it would depend on like player engagement too. So I'd probably have Monster, you and Trong play it if I had a pick of players. But I know Monster would probably be down. I'm not sure about you and Trong. Trong maybe.
It would depend on the pitch.
Yeah, it would depend on the pitch, yeah.
Yeah. Texas, does she have, like, a hat and boots?
She does not, no. It's weird because, like, the main organization that I'm not having you be a part of is called Rhodes Island. It has nothing to do with an island.
Do they like chowder? Do they like chowder? That's a Rhode Island thing, right?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I think they just picked names that sounded cool because they're technically code names for a lot of the characters. So a lot of them have like random word as their quote unquote name. It's not the real name, but Texas is actually Texas, but that's like her like family name.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, it's like it's an interesting thought, like trying to figure out how you can have an NPC kind of like, because I kind of want that NPC to be someone who's like there all the time. But at the same time, I also don't want them to just be like a crutch for my players to like constantly lean on and be like, oh, well, you know, like with Gray, James Gray specifically from
the classic.
Yeah. From Leo Noir. Like you couldn't have him there all the time for us to lean on because he was really strong, but his powers were limited. We didn't know that, but. Well, for a long time, we didn't know that. But he was really strong, but he was doing other things in the background, and I kind of want to do a similar role to that. So that's like something I've been mulling over.
That is the classic Gandalf in The Hobbit.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Gandalf, he's there, he gets everyone together, he chills with them for a bit, and then he's like, all right, boys, have fun. I got a peace out. I got a necromancer. Points in the middle distance. Over there somewhere. I'll be back. Kill that dragon. And he's gone till the end. Yeah, I feel
he
like
he went out
that...
for milk and never came back.
He came back.
He did come back, yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually.
The end. I mean, it's stuff like that. There's also the way I went with my party NPC in this one with Sarah is that I had her... And she's a teleporter, so that's already, like, pretty strong. But she also has a limitation, because she can't just, like, they all have energy. And, like, so they can't just, teleport anywhere, because, like, she'll get tired. Also, I had the mantis chop off her arm to cause trauma. So I have her reminded of that occasionally when I don't want them to just, like, we teleport us out. Like, it is definitely a fine balance keeping your party NPC from being like the big problem solver. And like I said, it just comes down to limitations and like having a character who actually has morals and will say no and will question like, wait, why do I need to do this for you? And all that kind of stuff. And I said that on the party NPC episode, but it is good. It bears repeating.
Yeah. So it's definitely something you should think about when you have a party NPC, or I mean, a lot of people will probably refer to them as GM characters, which I don't really think they should ever be called GM characters or played as.
I completely disagree. I totally feel like I do that.
Oh, really? Well, I know you do that kind of, but you don't play them like an actual character.
Oh, like it's like actually you don't, like I would. Yeah.
Yeah, because like you're not like making choices for the group. Like Sarah's and she's making like input on things, but she's not like driving like I think we should do this with the party. She's just not that kind of person, and like it also lets us as the actual players make the choice, so you don't, I mean, it's hard not to. And I mean, sometimes you want to do it just to have like a certain story point happen where you actually have the character kind of like push for a situation to take place, but you don't want to have your NPC making the choices for the players, because then it's almost like, you know, you're like metagaming almost in a way, because you're the person that has all the story. You don't want to constantly be doing that, so you can't play them the same way. But
it's definitely a line. I mean, I think that goes back to, like, and I've talked about the Kami's Burning Sands game. I think that was a little too NPC driven. That's why we felt on rails.
Yeah.
The NPCs were just like, and you go over there and do this, and you go over there and do this, and you go over there and do this. And I was like, what, do I have choices?
Now that you mentioned that, like, the difference between L5R and which we all enjoyed, which we weren't sure if it was because we were still like newbies to role playing back then, and Burning Sands, is that I feel like in L5R, the people that would tell us to do stuff, they were super busy with their own shit. Like, they didn't have time for us. Whereas in Burning Sands, it almost feels like they have nothing to do other than tell us what to do.
They're helicopter quest-giving us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it felt like. Yeah, so I think it might have something to do with that.
That's interesting.
I didn't think about it till now.
Huh. You might be right. That's a good split. We this is something, if you're a new listener, we've been wrestling for. Why you would come in on Just Chatting 4, not quite sure, but well, you're welcome. Welcome. Check out the other episodes. Check out the Noir episode. I'm not tired of that joke yet.
No, you're not.
But yeah, all right. Shall we end it here?
I think so. I think it's a good episode.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Just Chatting.
Yeah, it's definitely one of our more focused ones, actually.
Yeah, actually, we didn't have a plan going into this. At least we didn't talk about anything. I don't know if you had a plan going into it, but
I was like, I mean, you know, what's on my mind? Oh, I just realized that I'm actually running a lot more complex of a game than I had processed. And then it went from there. So, yeah, well, be sure to play what you love, and may your characters do something epic.
Were there long pauses in there because you were doing it so that we could stew, or did you actually forget our intro? What do you call it? Outro?
Outro.
Yeah. Did you?
Our catchphrase sign off.
Yeah. Our catchphrase sign off. Yeah. Did you forget?
I burnt the stew, so it's the
same. Ah. Okay.
Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, interjections, queries, notes, formal challenges, or suppositions, please email us at roimperfection@gmail.com. That's roimperfection@gmail.com. Or follow us on Twitter at roimperfection or Instagram search roimperfection. You can also visit our website at roimperfection.com. If you enjoyed our work, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great week, everybody.